will talk about my most recent results, which are plasma effects on extragalactic ultra-high energy, cosmic ray hadron beams, and cosmic voids, especially the kinetic instability of parallel electrostatic waves. So quite a lengthy title, but it's mainly about wave amplification due to a cosmic ray hadron beam. So first, a short outline. First, I want to give you some motivation, and we'll show you a previous calculation. Then the calculation for this kinetic instability of parallel electrostatic waves. And finally, I will conclude the talk. So I think everyone is very, very familiar with this scenario, so this pair beam instability. So what's the situation here? So we got a very dilute pair beam, which consists of electron positrons, which is due to an interaction of TeV photons with the extragalactic background light, and which traverse the cosmic voids, which is a plasma, also very dilute plasma, so which consists mainly of electrons and ions or protons. And so the background is in equilibrium, so the particles and waves are in equilibrium because the particles spontaneously emit some waves, but can also damp these waves. And so we got these plasma waves here, which are depicted here with this black arrows. So this shall illustrate the wave vectors. So we got some beam densities of about 10 to the minus 22 or minus 24 particles per cubic centimeter. The density of the IgM is something like 10 to the minus 7 particles per cubic centimeter. Yeah, and you know this pair beam instability, which is mainly this electrostatic instability, can hugely affect the propagation of this pair beam, and can lead to a huge energy loss. And yeah, we got a similar situation for this ultra-high energy cosmic rays, because they are believed to be extragalactic. So at energies above 10 to the 18 eV, we got something like a proton beam or a hadron beam, which traverses cosmic voids when they are extragalactic. So they traverse, again, this intergalactic medium, and can also excite some instabilities. Here, this is all very similar, but the details are a bit different because you got a charge current. So the protons, although they are very dilute, will excite a current. And to prevent this current, the electrons and protons of the background will drift. And in the back, in the rest frames of this IgM electrons, the protons of the background will have a drift velocity which is anti-parallel to the initial beam. So again, the IgM parameters are the same. The cosmic ray density is something like 10 to the minus 20 particles per cubic centimeter. But I have to talk about this later on. So as I mentioned before, so ultra-energy cosmic rays are believed to be extragalactic. So, and they have to propagate for roughly 10 to the 7 years. This cosmic voids, and they can potentially excite electrostatic or electromagnetic waves. So the electrostatic can lead to a huge energy loss, and the electromagnetic can even change the initial gyrotropic function to an azeotropic one. And this is what we measured here on Earth. So here you see the equatorial dipole amplitude, again, the energy of the cosmic rays, and you see that the measurements are can be explained by an isotropy function, so with a 99 confidence level. We did a previous calculation, which are always called something like the reactive regime. So we use a monoatomic energetic beam which traverses the cold IgM in 2014, so 2 years ago. And we found that the electrostatic and electromagnetic growth times are much smaller than the propagation time. So this would lead to a huge energy loss and would isotropize the cosmic rays in the linear regime. But strong nonlinear interactions, so mainly the modulation instability, stabilize that monoenergetic beam. And thus the beam can propagate stable to the Earth without losing a significant amount of energy to fluctuation. So for our new calculations, we used a different distribution function, and this is based on a work from Professor Schlickeiser. He showed that cosmic ray accelerated are accelerated to a Lorentzian distribution in relativistic and even in non-relativistic shocks. So since we are always talking about instabilities, here's a short scheme about the relaxation of an instability. The initial conditions are plotted here in red. The evolution steps are this blue arrow or this blue box, and the final state are the green boxes. So the red is mainly the linear regime. Anton Brett talked yesterday about this. So you have an external drive, which is in my case a cosmic ray source, or in this pair beam instability, you have this blazar as an external drive, so which gives you a free energy, and that's a momentum gradient and the distribution function, and this can excite some instabilities, some initial instability. And then you have to look at this linear relaxation time, which is something like 100 over this instability. And then you have to distinguish two cases. So when the linear relaxation time is much bigger than energy loss time, something like inverse Compton for electrons or pion production for cosmic rays, or when this relaxation time is simply much bigger than the propagation time, you will only have some small wave amplification. And thus, this instability won't affect this relaxation of this beam so much. The vice versa case, you will have some fluctuation and wave amplification. And in this crazy linear regime, so which mainly Professor Schlickeiser talked today about, will evolve this distribution function. So you have a wave amplification, which evolves this distribution function to a more stable distribution function. And then you have to compute a new instability, which is a bit lower than this initial one. And this cycle will stop when we reach some evolved state where no instability can be excited. When we take nonlinear interactions into account, we will get a bit different scenario. So this, when we reach the critical energy density and this resonant waves, nonlinear effects, we get a nonlinear growth rate, which will damp the resonant waves and amplify this energy density in nonlinear waves. So this nonlinear interactions will hamper this this linear relaxation, and thus the nonlinear relaxation time is much, much bigger than this linear relaxation time. And again, you can distinguish these two cases. So when this nonlinear relaxation time is much bigger than the other two timescales, you will only have small wave amplification, and the vice versa case, you will reach this evolved state. So why I showed you this, so for the pair beam scenario, we get something like we have some external drive here, an instability, then we will amplify these waves, reach a critical energy density, we'll reach the nonlinear regime and get an evolved state. For my first calculations, it's monoenergetic. We have also some nonlinear interactions, but due to this amplification of this nonlinear of this relaxation time, we only have some small wave amplification. And in the following calculation, I will show you that with this new distribution function, you will only have this linear relaxation time is much bigger than this propagation time, and you will only have some small wave amplification. So this brings me to my second section, this kinetic instability of parallel electrostatic waves. So one of the most important things, I think, in plasma physics is the distribution function. This consists here in the rest frame of electrons of the background, so the IJM distribution function and the beam distribution function. And yeah, you see here this little drift term in momentum for the protons, and the electrons are at rest. And here you see this Lorentzian distribution for this parallel momentum, so parallel to the wave vector direction. This drift momentum can be calculated that you won't prevent this large-scale current, as I mentioned before, and you get some drift velocity, which is proportional, linearly proportional to this density ratio, which is something like 10 to the minus 13. When you normalize the density to the density which we measure at Earth, so close to the source, it can will get a bit bigger. So important is here the bulk velocity of the cosmic rays, which is shown here, which is simply the first momentum of this distribution function, of course. And for relativistic shocks, we get an alpha something like 1, and we end up with a bulk velocity of about 30 to 40% of the speed of light. And so we are here highly non-relativistic. So we can use for this IGM distribution function the non-relativistic case. Yes, just to show you what's the difference between the previous calculation and this calculation, the beam distribution functions are plotted here. So for this previous calculation, we simply got this delta distribution, which is something like a peak in this distribution function against this parallel momentum. So you got a very high energy inversion. And this Lorentzian distribution looks more stable, and therefore high momentum it will reach some power law in momentum or there's missing a 2, I think. So it goes to p parallel minus 2s. So against power law and energy or in momentum, which is measured here at Earth. So first of all, I want to show you this electromagnetic mode. You have to insert this distribution function in this Maxwell tensor and put it equal to 0, and then you get this collective mode. And this can be solved with a simply real frequency for this parallel wave vector momentum orientation. So no electromagnetic instability can be excited. I think this is what we expected, because this parallel, there cannot be a viable mode, I think. So for the electrostatic mode, we end up with this complete electrostatic dispersion function. Here is the background. So this is this plasma dispersion function for Maxwell distributed particles. So here are the electrons, here are the protons with this drift velocity, and here you got this beam contribution, where you mainly get some function, which is some beam function, which are dependent on this normalized parallel momentum, and that is something like the phase velocity over the speed of light, so some normalized quantity. And so this cannot be solved analytically because you got this complex function in it. And you have to approximate the system. So we can look at weakly amplified electrostatic fluctuations, where the real part is much bigger than the imaginary part, or weakly propagating electrostatic fluctuation, where the real part is much smaller than the imaginary part. And in this special approximations, we have to approximate this phase velocity to approximate this plasma distribution function for this Maxwell distributed particles. So I will show you this calculation for the first limiting case. The others are pretty the same. So what can we do for this weakly amplified electrostatic fluctuation? We can tailor expand our Maxwell tensor around I equals 0. And then we get some I which is proportional to this, so it's to the imaginary part and to the real part, and to get this beam function, this integral over the beam function, we use the Plamel's formula, and then you see that you get some imaginary part here, which then leads to a small instability. So for large space velocities, you can approximate this plasma dispersion function like this, where you get this ordering that z is much bigger than the thermal velocities of the electrons, much bigger than the thermal velocity of the ions, and this is much bigger than the drift velocity. And you finally end up with this total plasma dispersion function in this regime, where you got this here the real parts, and here a small imaginary part. And yeah, after some tedious but straightforward calculation, you can end up with this maximum growth rate, which is here proportional to this density ratio. And chi is this mass ratio, so electron mass over proton mass. And you can directly see that this must be very small, which is shown here. So you got something like 10 to the minus 16 to 2 to 7, 10 to the minus 60 hertz for different power law indices. Yes, so, and in this linear relaxation time, you got something like 10 to the 9 years, which is orders of magnitude higher than this propagation time. And even in this other limiting cases, you got only some small or no instabilities, which is shown here. Yes, but important to mention is this beam density, because as I mentioned before, we normalize this to the flux measured on Earth. So when we go to cosmic voids or nearer to the to this cosmic ray source, we really expect that the instabilities get more important, because as you see before, this is proportional to this, this density ratio. Yes. So let me conclude the talk. So I looked at electrostatic and electromagnetic interaction of cosmic ray beam with an unmagnetized intergalactic medium. And so as we expect, no electromagnetic instabilities are possible when the wave vector is parallel to the beam direction. And in contrast to the monoenergetic beam, this Lorentz instability, this Lorentz distributed beam can only excite very small parallel electrostatic instabilities for this small density ratio. So this very dilute Lorentzian distribution cosmic rays do not lose a significant energy amount to parallel electrostatic and electromagnetic fluctuation by propagating to this IGM. But in future, we will really focus on this density issue and looking at oblique propagation of cosmic ray beams to the wave vector, which can, of course, potentially lead to a greater electrostatic and electromagnetic instability. So thank you for your attention.
Do we have time for a couple questions? So for the electrostatic instability, yes. Is it different than the pure beam plasma instability, or?
What do you mean with pure?
So basically, well, I mean, if you have a cool electron, right?
Okay, yeah.
You know, we know how to calculate that one pretty well. So how is this instability different than the?
This is pretty different because of this distribution function. So you got not this high energy diversion in it. So this is very, 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 very different to calculate. So it's a factor of, I think, so we got, for this monoenergetic, we got something like 10 to the minus 6 and 10 to the 10.
GF will be parallel, but it's always negative.
Yeah. Right. Okay, so that's only
the anisotropy, but the beam is in one direction.
Yeah. Ah, so right. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, it's much slower. It's much
slower. This is essentially the electrostatic oblique.
So we looked at the parallel. So yeah. Potentially this oblique can be much higher. So I think Anton Bretschaut asked that this, when it's not parallel, this can be much higher.
So, okay, so even if it's the worst case.
This is the worst case.
In the parallel direction, you get an instability.
Yeah.
Right, now, there is this theorem, right?
There is a theorem that isotropic distribution functions in infinite space are always stable.
Yeah,
right.
But
this is not an
geotropic reaction.
Yeah, but if you even parallel it one dimension, in that case, it was Penrose criterion, right? So this
it's
is not
stable to
the Penrose, right? Mm-hmm. But it's still unstable.
I think.
Because it's relativistic. Penrose is only for non-relativistic.
So this is the solution of this equation, I think. So I don't know. So this is really induced by this beam because the background is neglected in this this calculation, as you can see here. So normally, when the
you're referring to this non-relativistic calculation, where you can do the p-perpendicular or v-perpendicular integral independently from any parallel integral. Yeah, you can't do this in the
relativistic case
because you have the gamma factor.
Right, okay, so okay.
So therefore, this non-relativistic theorem does not hold.
Right.
But what is true, if you have isotropic distribution functions, you can, in an unmagnetized plasma, they always stay.
But we got so two breakup of the symmetry, so even the background of the protons are anisotropic. So because
of the drift.
Because of the drift, exactly. So when the density ratio get more higher, so you can excite some, it's called Brunemann instability in this background plasma. So
the drift speed is directly proportional to the density ratio.
Exactly, yeah.
And this is just 3 centimeters per second.
So yeah, yeah. So
go closer to the source, you get a higher drift, and then the drifting background electrons will make an instability.
Yeah.
Right. The drift is induced by the cosmic ray arbor.
So
there are two sources of instability.
And this could both lead to an energy loss in the cosmic rays. So, and yeah. About this nonlinear effects, maybe it could heat also this IgM. So. Because it breaks down to this modulation instability.
But here you have the great advantage that you have a charged beam.
Yes, or yeah, it makes the calculation more hard.
They're not charged.
Yeah.
But because you assume that you are unmagnetized, you have no background in the field, you have to make sure that there's no net current and no net charge. So otherwise, if it would be a current, you would get via Ampere's law and magnetic field. Yeah.
Well, this makes the calculation.
Be careful how you set up your so-called equilibrium, your starting position.
Yeah. The magnetized case would be much harder, I think, so because you have this off diagonal.
Oh, it's unmagnetized.
Yeah, so.
Well, if there are no more questions, let's thank Stefan again.